Let's read together now the Word of God from Revelation 8. This evening's sermon text is Revelation 8, verses 1 through 5. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound." I'll read those first five verses once more. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. As you know very well, my dear fellow believers. Prayer Day is about praying for crops, for a good harvest, for the fields, for rain and sunshine, for our daily bread, and for the other necessities of our earthly life. And we prayed together for those things this evening, praying for them. We do not know what God will give in answer to our prayers, whether He'll give a good harvest, whether He'll give rain and sunshine in proper amounts, whether He'll give us our daily bread. We tend to take that for granted, but we really don't know whether, as the year draws on, we will have food on our tables sufficient for ourselves and for our families. We don't know whether God will give us the other necessities of life, health and work and income and all those other things on which we depend. We understand. I'm sure you understand that even when God doesn't give us our daily bread and the other necessities of life, that too is an answer to our prayers for those things. Sometimes He answers by giving what we ask, usually far more than we would ever ask or think. But sometimes He answers those prayers by giving us less than we ask, or even nothing. We understand that. But there's another way in which God answers all our prayers, but also those prayers for food and shelter and clothing and work and the other necessities of life, for harvests, for the fruits of the field, for rain and sunshine. And that's what our text is talking about. One of the ways in which God answers the prayers of His people, even their prayers for daily bread, is by sending His judgments on the earth. Those judgments are described in verse 5 in terms of voices, thunderings and lightnings, and an earthquake. That's God's answer to the prayers of His people, or as the passage has it, to the prayers of all saints, or, if you will, to all the prayers of saints, because they're exactly the same thing. And that's what I want to show you this evening. The judgments that are coming on the world in which we live are an answer to our prayers, even to our prayers for daily bread. And I want to show you why that's so. So the theme of this evening's sermon, taken from the passage, is the offering of the prayers of all saints. The passage takes us through John's vision to heaven. And heaven is pictured here as a temple, but as a temple in which many things that were present in the temple of Solomon are missing. There's no altar of burnt offering, because in that heavenly temple, after our Savior gave himself as an offering for the sins of his people, there's no place any longer for that kind of an altar. There's no veil to separate us from the presence of God, because Christ, through the offering of his body on the cross, has torn that veil and taken it away and given us access to the presence of God. The one piece of temple furniture that's mentioned in the passage is the altar of incense, standing as it did in the Old Testament before the face of God himself. And it's on that altar that the prayers of all saints are presented to God. They're received in heaven, first of all. That's part of the passage. But having been received in heaven, they're offered to God with incense and come in that way into his presence. And having been accepted by God, those prayers are also answered. That's verse 5 of the passage. When the angel takes the censer, fills it with fire from the altar, and remember, the prayers of saints are on that altar as well. When the angel takes that censer, fills it with fire of the altar, and casts it into the earth, that scripture's way of picturing God's answering their prayers. But answering them with judgments. He answers the prayers of all saints. And you remember I said that's the same as all the prayers of saints. He answers those prayers with judgments. He answers those prayers in other ways as well, by giving them what they ask, sometimes by withholding what they ask, but always, always with judgments. And because these are the prayers of all saints, those prayers include prayers for our earthly necessities and for our daily bread. Thunders and lightnings in the Bible are very often pictures, parts of God's judgments. Psalm 18 speaks of that. You have that marvelous picture there of God coming for judgment and for salvation, riding, Scripture says, on the wings of the wind. The earth shook and trembled. There's the earthquake too. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon the cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And then a little further on in the psalm, the word of God adds, the Lord also thundered in the heavens. The highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out his lightnings and discomfited them. You should think of that the next time there's a thunderstorm in the area. You should not only listen to the rolling thunder and watch for the lightning, but remember what Psalm 18 says, that those things are always connected with the coming of God as the God of wrath and judgment. Earthquakes are a special picture of God's judgment. When an earthquake takes place, then that's God touching the earth and making it shake. And of course, sometimes he not only touches it, but hits it, so that men die and buildings crumble. And that's why earthquakes are such a picture of God's judgments. They are God shaking the earth as a sign of what he will do at the end of time, when he takes the earth and shakes it until all the works of men are shaken to pieces. Hebrews 12, quoting from the prophecy of Haggai, talks about that final shaking in the last verses of that chapter. Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And I might add too, if you didn't know that, that there were around the world today 42 earthquakes. Now, most of them weren't even severe enough that people really noticed. But just today, 42 times, God answered the prayers of his people in different places around the world with earthquakes. Just like Revelation 8 says. The passage speaks of voices as well. And those voices probably include the voices of men and women as they come under the judgments of God. Revelation 6 records some of those judgments. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." You could think of a passage like that when you read of those voices in Revelation 8. But in Revelation 8, those voices refer especially to the voices of those trumpets of judgment that start to blow as soon as the prayers of the saints are offered on that altar before God. The last verse of the chapter refers to the sound of those trumpets as voices. "I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound.'" Prayers of God's people, the prayers of all saints, are answered by those judgments. Now, before we talk about why that is, that's really the most important question this evening, but before we talk about that, we have to understand that those prayers are answered and have to explain why that is. And the passage explains that by describing them as the prayers of saints. Not all prayers are answered, but only the prayers of saints. That's implied in the passage. And saints, as you probably know, are people who are holy. But that's the reason why their prayers are answered. They're holy not because they have some holiness of their own, but they're holy in Christ. And because, remember last Sunday morning? Because united to Christ, His holiness and His Holy Spirit become theirs. And that shows, too, in their lives. They become, in fact, holy ones. But it's all through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why their prayers are answered. That's the first reason in the passage. Not because of who they are in themselves, but because of what they are in Christ. And that simply means, of course, that Christ Himself in His saving work is the real reason why all their prayers are answered. But there's another reason given in the passage too, and that has to do with that incense. Remember, the vision takes us to heaven. Heaven is pictured as a temple with the altar of incense, standing in the presence of God, and the prayers of God's people are offered on that altar with incense, with much incense, the passage says. And that incense, that was true in the Old Testament too, that incense represents the intercession of Christ. In the Old Testament, when the priest brought coals from the altar of burnt offering and put them on the top of that little altar, and then put the incense on it, and the smoke came up in the presence of God, that wasn't a picture of my prayers or of yours, that smoke, but a picture of Christ's prayers, His intercession, as it mingles with the prayers of God's people and comes into the presence of God Himself as a sweet smell. So that incense, representing the intercession of Christ, is the other reason why those prayers have in our passage an answer. In this case, judgments on the earth. But that doesn't explain why God answers the prayers of all saints. Every prayer you ever pray, even prayers for crops and harvests and daily bread, with judgments, judgments on the world in which we live. The voices of those trumpets, earthquakes, thunderings and lightnings. You know why that is? That's because when you pray as a saint, as one who is holy in Christ Jesus, and with whose prayers Jesus is pleased to mingle His intercession, so that those prayers come to God with a sweet smell. When you pray as a saint for your daily bread, then you never pray for bread's sake. You never pray, do you, for bread as an end in itself. You don't pray for anything like that as an end in itself. Health, work, food, shelter, all those earthly necessities, never, ever for their own sake. Or if you do, then you pray sinfully. Put it another way, you never pray for bread just because you're hungry. Do you? Never pray for work only because you need to put food on the table. Never pray for health if you're ill, just and only because you're hurting. if you pray as a saint. But when you pray for those things, I think you know that. If you pray as a saint, then you pray for them thinking of something else besides those things. The glory of God, the coming of His kingdom, the coming of Christ, the well-being of His church and of His people. And you ask them for those things so that you can use them for His glory and for the coming of His kingdom and for the coming of Christ. Never, ever for their own sake. The Heidelberg Catechism is getting at that when it explains the petition of the Lord's Prayer for daily bread, which is the fourth petition, Lord's Day 50. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. End of explanation? No. Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the fountain of all good, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. A saint prays for daily bread, for health, for all those other earthly things, always with an eye on the kingdom of heaven and the coming of that kingdom. And that means that even though he may not put it into words, his prayer is really something like this: give me those earthly necessities, Lord, but give me with them the grace to use them as I should. Give them to me so that I can seek the kingdom of heaven. Give them to me in such a way that I seek the kingdom of heaven first. And the prayer of a saint, even though again that may not be put into words, can sometimes even be like this: give me my daily bread, Lord, and all those other earthly necessities, but if for the kingdom's sake and for the coming of that kingdom, it's better that I have nothing to eat, then please don't give me my daily bread. I would rather be hungry if that's what's necessary for the coming of the kingdom. I would rather be in pain if that's what's necessary for the glory of Thy name in the coming of the kingdom. I would rather that my crops fail, that there be no harvest, and that I go broke. if that's what's necessary, in thine own sovereign will and good pleasure for the coming of the kingdom. That's why the answer to those prayers are the judgments mentioned in Revelation 8. Because those things all say earthquakes, thunderings, lightnings, the voices of the trumpets, all say, my kingdom is coming. Not will come, you understand, is coming. Those earthquakes are the earth shaking under the feet of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those thunderings and lightnings are the God of judgment coming on the wings of the wind to establish through judgment His eternal kingdom of righteousness and peace. You see that? And then the believer, the saint, says, yes, yes. I don't care as much as I did about my daily bread because the kingdom is coming in which all my needs will be eternally supplied and I will never lack again. It doesn't matter so much that I'm in pain and hurting. I've prayed for health, and I wish I felt better. But that doesn't matter as much to me because the judgments that I see in the world around me all say to me, God's kingdom is coming, and when it comes, every tear will be wiped away, and there will be no more pain or sorrow or crying. The Lord knows that I need to put bread on my table. And for that, there has to be a good harvest, a good growing season, and a good harvest. But what does that matter? When in just a little while, the greatest of all harvests will come. When the wheat is gathered forever into those everlasting habitations and the tares cast out and burned, what does one earthly harvest matter then in comparison with that? You see then why God answers those prayers with judgments? I don't know what you're praying for, especially as far as those needs of the body and of our earthly life are concerned. But you have to understand, and I have to understand that too, that God answers those prayers not by giving or withholding, not just by giving or withholding what we've asked for, but by saying, in the judgments that are coming on this world, my eternal kingdom is coming. And the king of that kingdom is at the door. When all these earthly cares will soon be forgotten, like a dream is forgotten in the morning. Thunderings, lightnings, earthquakes, the voices of those trumpets are God's answer, His always answer to all the prayers that you raise and to the prayers of all saints. So you should pray for those earthly needs. If that wasn't important, we wouldn't be here this evening. But you must recognize also how God answers those prayers. And then too, and I'll leave you with that this evening, then too, do. As you see God's judgments coming on this world, and by the way, those judgments will mean that there will be a day for God's people when there isn't any bread on the table. Those judgments will mean, God's judgments in the creation will mean more and more failed harvests. Will mean rain and sunshine not in their proper amounts, but in ways that testify of God's anger against this present world. But when you see those things, then you must recognize them as an answer to your prayers. And as Jesus says in Luke 21, Verse 28, when these things begin to come to pass, be discouraged, disheartened, afraid, troubled. Oh, no, no, no. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the time here this evening and for the wonderful words which Thou hast spoken in Thy Word. Words of peace and comfort and assurance and hope. We ask, Father, that those words may touch and heal our souls as we finish our pilgrimage here in this world, struggling, tried, troubled, and so often afraid. Forgive us the sins we have committed in speaking of these things. ask them in Jesus' name. Amen.